Good morning, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the 10 Dimensions of Wellness. I am your host, the owner of NRI Wellness, Chef Cammie Red. Today, we have Brandon Turner on our show. We are so grateful for him. He is the owner of, oh my gosh, it just slipped my mind. Give me 2 seconds. I'm so sorry. He is the owner of Procedure Sheets. That's what it is. So, Brandon, tell us your journey to wellness, how you got into this industry, and your personal experience, and where all of this came from.
So, it started, I was originally born and raised in Georgia as an only child, and my parents got divorced when I was 8 years old. This was 1990.
Okay, so not to cut you off, because I know we talked before the show, and I told you I was born and raised in Georgia. What part of Georgia are you from?
So here's the thing. I feel like I'm from anything that's North Metro. I've been in Marietta, in Kennesaw, in Woodstock, and I was born in Decatur. So I had a chance to have a little taste of everything.
Wait a minute. Okay, so you were born in Decatur.
Yes.
I was born in the city of Atlanta, lived in East Atlanta, South Atlanta, North Atlanta. Like, literally went to North Atlanta High School. So,
yes.
When you're from here, people, I totally get what you're saying about from all of those areas. Like, when you're from this area, people don't understand that you live all over that particular area, especially Metro Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah, that's the great thing about a metropolis is that you can have a taste of everybody.
Absolutely. And this is definitely a melting pot of people. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's great. Yeah. Yeah, so I had a chance to grow up there, and when mom and dad got divorced, mom took custody while dad got visitation, and they both went in different paths in their lives. And me as a kid, I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do and what I can adhere to, what makes me feel good inside. So mom had her own business, and it was a travel business, but this was before the internet, so like everything was all good, and you know she went out and she took an idea in her head and turned it into reality and got her clients. And when I was little, she'd take me in to work with her, and I'd sit on her floor playing with my Ninja Turtle toys, you know, while she was dealing with clients and
right. So you learn how to be an entrepreneur from just watching your mother. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's crazy too, because you know, you're at that age, you don't really know what's happening. Like I got a chance to see small business from the owner's side, not just the consumer side. And it was a little bit different, but when I started growing up, I started really understanding what mom was doing and the type of independence she had and the type of wellness she was experiencing. But dad went to IT. So he had an IT job. He was working for the company US Sprint. And this is like, it's Sprint, the cell phone carrier, but before they were a cell phone carrier, you know, they were called US Sprint. So on weekends, I'd go to dad's office, wait for his shift to finish, and then he and I would have our weekend. So I had these two parents doing these great, powerful things. You know, IT was, you know, the IT industry is like full and it's rich and it's forward thinking and all of this. And my mom's got a business. So she's out there, you know, seizing control of her future and her income and her hours and all of this. So later on, when I become an adult, I ended up going to college to do IT anyway, because I didn't know how to do what mom was doing. So I had to like study other people and read books and things like this. And I would go to the public library and check out books on other successful people. Again, this was before the internet. So I check out a book about somebody's journey, somebody as successful or maybe even more successful than mom. Like, what do these folks do? Like, what's their life look like? What kind of person did they have to become? What decisions did they have to make?
Who were some of the people that inspired you at that age?
Well, I was one of the people that jumped out right away was Oprah. I had never seen anyone or anything like Oprah. It wasn't just her talk show, because when you think about her background and the roughness that she came from and the challenges that she came from, to be able to weave her way through the challenges of the world, weave her way through the challenges of society and her mental health and her spiritual health and all of these things, what it took to get to where she was hosting her own show and she's got these mega stars on her show, and she's talking about all these cool topics, and this audience is just flocking to come see what she's doing. And then later on, you find out, like when you grow up, you find out, oh my gosh, she's this media mogul, and she's doing this and this and this. So she's really, really in tune with what it means to align yourself with your purpose, and then make sure that you can use your purpose to impact other people. So that was really cool. And then I also, you know, read about people like Bill Gates, people like Warren Buffett, some of the people that created some of the infrastructure and the opportunities in our country. Like when I go back to Oprah, Oprah created a platform. She created an opportunity for other people to make the jump and succeed too. I remember stories about Oprah mentoring Steve Harvey, mentoring Dr. Phil, mentoring Tyra Banks, mentoring Ellen, all this kind of stuff. I was like, man, that's really taking it to a new level. So those were the types of people that I was, you know, studying and following, other than my mother.
Yeah, it's the concept of learning the system. I love it. I think that's what we should actually do more often, is pass down right knowledge and information and know-how to others, so that, you know, they are actually capable of being just as successful, if not more successful than us.
Yeah, it's really powerful. Absolutely. So, so I would study these folks, and then I would, and then I didn't really know how to apply what I was learning, right? Because I didn't know how to get, I didn't know what I didn't know. Like, I don't know what resources I need. I don't know what people I need to know, that kind of thing. So fast forward, I study IT in college. I graduate college, and then I move to Oklahoma. Now I moved to Oklahoma because that's where I went and met my wife. We met online at that time. This was about 12 years ago, maybe. So we start developing our relationship through communication, because we're five states apart, or whatever it is. Yeah, about five states apart. So we'll spend hours on the phone talking to each other, texting each other, things like this. And I eventually move out here. Because I'm an only child, it was easier for me to move than for her to move. She's lived here in Oklahoma her whole life, got all of her roots here. Brothers and sisters and such too. So when I move out here, I got to figure out how do I do what mom did? How do I walk in that path? Because mom didn't know how to teach me. She did it, and it was an instinct for her, almost a reflex for her, but she didn't know how to teach it to me, you know, all the ins and outs. So I did the only thing I knew how to do, and that was reach out to other people. Like, I'd go to, can I find a group of people that are doing what I want to do, right? Like, and what's that look like? Where are they? So about this time, of course, the internet was a much bigger thing, and you could access knowledge and resources on the internet. So I went to a website, and I'm going to plug this website because it's been life-changing for me. It's called meetup.com.
Meetup. Okay. So I'm very familiar with meetup.com. That's okay. Actually where a lot of us who started our businesses actually start our businesses, because you find a group of people that have common interests like yours, and those people become your target market, your client base, and your customers.
Yep. Yes. Everything that you just said. Okay. So you said everything I was going to say, and it's because of that. So me, I'm looking for other people, business people, or people that are in business. So I found this group here, and I went, and there were, at the time, there were maybe two or three. The problem was, is that the person that was running the group, he had other stuff going on. He wasn't able to invest in it the way that he needed to. So there would be times where even he wouldn't show up. So the people who run these meetup groups are called organizers, and this organizer just had other stuff going on. So the three of us, then the four of us, later the five of us, we'd all show up and we, you know, brainstorm and talk about business and stuff, but he wasn't there. And we're like, well, I guess we need to, I mean, we still want to meet. So how about we still meet and we show up? And it was crazy too, because we had to reach out to the organizer, say, hey, what's going on? Or is this still on? What do you want to do? And he told us he was ready to move on. And that's like, okay. Now, of course, in the meantime, the five of us now, we're getting together, we're talking about business. What are our fears? What are our challenges? What are our goals? And it blew my mind, because like, these people were strangers. when I first came in. But the fact that I can go to a table full of strangers and talk about my fears and my challenges, where I want to go, and then everybody else shares, it's like, and you learn more, you can learn more in 2 hours with them than I could have a four-year business degree. You know, so it was like, we've got to keep this going. It felt like a mastermind. It was really a mastermind. You know, before this interview, I was actually looking up the different types of wellnesses. And what this reminds me of is intellectual wellness. And I remember a definition. So I remember a definition of intellectual wellness that talks about, it's about active participation in activities like the
cultural things, things within your community, social items, political things, things that actually, what we call enhance you intellectually, those items that cause you to think and explore and be mindful of what's going on that draw you in cognitively is what intellectual wellness is about. So yes, that definitely is what you would consider intellectual wellness.
Okay, so that was where my journey to wellness, that was the first step in my journey to wellness. That was my real first exposure to one of the versions of wellness that I was kind of aware of. I didn't know that I was seeking intellectual wellness, but coming together with this group of people, you know, brought me into it, and it let it wash over me, and I could kind of really let it sink in. It's like, this is what this means. This is how this feels. This is probably what mom went through on her journey. You know, the stuff that she couldn't explain to me because she didn't know how, now I'm starting to get it. So this group of five and I, we kept meeting for weeks, and we eventually took it over from the organizer. He parted ways with the group, and one of us stepped up as the organizer, and the five of us would come together. So we were at, if you remember Borders Bookstore, there used to be a bookstore called Borders. It's like, it was as big as Barnes and Noble bookstore.
Yeah. It used to actually be Barnes and Noble's competitor. Yeah.
Yes. So that was where the meetup was scheduled, right? So you go to meetup.com, you'd say the entrepreneur club is scheduled at such and such. And we'd go there, and every week we'd meet up and we'd talk about our week. Hey, I had this challenge with this customer. Hey, how do I get customers? Hey, I'm trying to get my business organized. I got this problem with this employee, whatever the case may be. And we just talk about all that stuff. And it's just this huge outpouring of this positive energy. There's positivity around it because I'm in this group of four other people that are trying to make a difference in the world, right? A different kind of difference, right? So, you know, starting a business and running a business, it's a whole different animal. You know, it takes you to new places and it stretches you. And this is a place where you could come and be comfortable and you could be vulnerable. You know, there are a lot of us that are in this space. We can't talk to our friends and family about this stuff, you know, so it's lonely. And where do you take that loneliness? You know, that's where some depression can creep in and things like this. We're on our way to success. You know, we're chipping away. We're not going to stop. We want to keep going. But, you know, we're human beings. And we're experiencing, again, that loneliness. We may be fighting with depression a little bit. Am I doing the right thing? Is this going to work? Am I making a difference? Is this going to make me money? Can this help my lifestyle? All of these things. And I could bring all that stuff to this group, right? So now it's touching on my emotional side a little bit and helping me balance my emotions. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And, you know, in my brain, I'm not thinking, oh, this is really helping with this kind of wellness. This is really helping with my intellectual wellness. This is really helping with my emotional, my spiritual wellness. I'm not thinking those things, but it's happening. And it's growing inside you and it's attached to you. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. So we take over this group, and now five becomes eight over the course of these weeks. And then eight becomes 11 over the course of these weeks. And now other people are coming in, and it's like, they get the same treatment that I did. I can walk into this group of strangers, and then the organizer says, hey, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about your business. Hey, I'm so-and-so and such-and-such, and this is that. Hey, so-and-so and such-and-such. That's really cool. So what are you challenged with? What's a win for you? this week? What was something that happened for you this week? And then that was our thing. You know, so somebody new comes in, they introduce themselves. We go around the table and just pick a topic, and then we just get to it. And I was like, man, this is better than school. Because, I mean, I'm getting along with all my quote-unquote classmates, and the instructor's cool, and you feel like you're part of something. You know, plus we're brainstorming and everything like this. And I'm like, I couldn't be more grateful for that, because I think that was one of the richest experiences for me in terms of putting me on the path to success. And it was through these groups, these meetings. By the way, the group is up to 2,300 people now. And it was through these meetings.
Kudos. Congratulations. Look, hand clap for that. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. That was so good. I love that my peers, they're talking about, yeah, Brandon's one of the co-founders of the group. It's like, oh, that's so cool. I was like, so that would help me understand and crystallize where I needed to walk, what my path was, and what that was going to lead me to. So my big thing is intellectual wellness as well as occupational wellness. And I guess I personally deal with occupational wellness more in the business space. You can get this as an employee of a company, obviously, you know, but it's more as a, you know, it's more in the space of the innovators, the owners, the managers, anybody who's a forward thinker in whatever it is that they do. A lot of the things that I learned in this mastermind group, this club, this organization, I was able to bring forward and I was able to share with clients and customers and team members and everybody. So it's been really special.
Very cool. So tell me some things that you've learned about yourself through this journey, not just, you know, ways that you can help others. How did this change you? What did it make you understand more about yourself?
So first of all, it doesn't sound like it, but I'm actually an introvert. I'm an introvert by nature. And the short answer is, this reminded me that I need people as much as any of us need people. I draw my energy from being alone, like being in my own space and everything, but that energy can, can't grow and take on a life of its own unless I share it with others, you know? So, you know, that's one of those things where, what I learned is how important it is to have people to bounce things off of and to connect with.
NRI Wellness brings you the latest health and nutrition information, creates customized nutrition programs, and walks you through the process to ensure your success.
So, Brandon, tell me, what are some of the biggest challenges that you faced in wellness or with your business, and how did you overcome that?
When I started my business, I started it alone, just like most of us do. I was doing everything. So I was like, the first thing I need to do is I need to go out and I need to get clients. And I started in my little, you know, my network group, that mastermind group. And I started asking around, because by that time our group was growing and some new people were coming in. And I started having conversations with them. And, you know, of course you hear crickets for a little while, you know, because you're trying to find people that are the right fit for what you're doing. And I didn't learn until a little bit later that when you start your business, one of the first questions you need to ask is not necessarily what you need to do, but who do you serve? Who do you want to serve? Who do you serve? And then what do you do for them? And when I ask myself the question, who do I serve? It's fellow entrepreneurs. And then I have to figure out, well, what do I do for them? And then that's kind of what helped me shape what my products and services were. And once I answered, who do I serve? What do I do for them? Then I had to ask the question, where do I find them? You know, because it's not just going to be inside of our little group. I'm going to have to go elsewhere. So I started with those, with my answers to those three questions. I was keeping those in mind. This is who I serve. This is what I do for them. This is where they congregate. And then I started going out and I started seeking them out. So my biggest challenge in the beginning was that, because I was trying to shake down who's a good fit for this. So when I started, like, my very first client was a flooring company. And they, you know, it was an owner, and he had his assistant, his right hand, and she was overwhelmed because the owner's like this big blue sky thinker. You know, he's got all these great ideas and everything, but, you know, turning that into execution and turning that into activity, that transition was a bit of a challenge for him, because he always had stuff raining, always had these ideas raining out of his head. And then his assistant, it was a situation where she's like type A, like by the book. Okay, well, we need to start this and finish it before we start this idea and all of that kind of stuff. So what I learned was that there was this strange dichotomy in their relationship. And I'm not thinking about relationships when I'm going in. I mean, I'm offering a service, you know, so I have a coffee with them. They invite me to a Starbucks and we have a coffee, and they've got this stack of stuff from like all their paperwork, you know, all the stuff that's chaotic in their business. And they hand it over to me, and she's telling me stories and he's telling me stories, but the owners, the stories from the assistant sound different when the same story is told from the owner, right? So I'm like thinking, okay, let me just see what I can do. And me as a young pup, I'm trying to understand, you know, I'm providing this service, but how can this service I'm providing heal what's going on between them? And it's like, and I didn't know what questions to ask somebody about it. So I just pressed on. I just did what I came to do, which was perform this service. So what I was doing was I was documenting their processes. I was writing their procedures and rewriting their operating procedures so they could get organized. And so it was a situation where I was working mainly, I would say I was working with them both equally, but the owner had all this infrastructure and stuff that he wanted to build because he wanted to scale the flooring business. And he was still going out to clients' houses and measuring the floors and things like this. And he wanted to get somebody else to do that. But he had trust issues. It's like, nobody can do this as good as I do. I've been doing it from the beginning. So like, how do I get to that? I want somebody, but I want them to get the results that I get. So, you know, he and I worked together and we'd have phone calls and meetings and lots of coffees and things like this. I was like, okay, so you're trying to trust somebody else to do this. Okay. And you know how to do this. So talk me through the process that's in your head. When you go out to the client's house and you're measuring and stuff like this, talk me through the process that's in your head. And as he's talking me through the process, I'm writing it down. So I'm writing down, okay, when I go to the client's house, I do this first. I write that down. Okay. And then after you do that, then what happens? Well, then I go and I do this. So maybe I go and I measure where the floor is going to be. Cool. Let me write that down just a second. Okay. And then I would do that over the next 5-10 steps of his process. Okay, cool. So let me go turn this into a procedure. Let me go turn this into like a recipe so that you can hand it to somebody else and then they can do what you do based on what you told me. Do you know what I mean? So I would do that with him. And then I'd go and I'd talk to his right hand, his assistant, and she'd have stuff. But she was, you know, again, more by the book, more type A, more organized. So it was a little bit easier to have those conversations with her because there was a bit of a structure. She wanted to tighten up her structure and then line the owner up with the structure so that when he's got these blue sky ideas coming down, they can fall into the structure and flow through the structure, right? So we're trying to make that stuff happen. And this, you know, my relationship with them over the course of 90 days, 120 days, I think, that's about how long we were working together. This started to heal a few things in their relationship. And meanwhile, what I'm learning about me is that, so I'm going into your door to talk about, so here's the thing about your business, if you have a business, is that the processes that you have in your business are like recipes. They have ingredients, they have amounts, and they have instructions. Well, if your recipes are documented, then you can hand them to anyone and get the exact same dishes every time. So imagine you go to a restaurant and you have your favorite dish, but you decide you want to make it at home. Well, to make it at home, you've got to get the recipe. Well, how do you get the recipe? Well, the person who already makes the dish either has to put it in a video so you can watch it while you make it, or put it in a cookbook so you can read it while you make it. Well, in business, we call our recipes operating procedures. And if you can get your recipes on paper and out of your head and then hand them to somebody else, they can go make that dish. So maybe that dish is, this is how we talk to clients on the phone. Maybe that recipe is for how you clean the office before you close up shop. Maybe that recipe is for how you bill your clients, how you invoice your clients. That recipe could be for anything that you do in your business, but you're trying to get to a dish. Your dish is the client paid us. The office is clean. The dish is, hey, we were able to hire this new team member. The dish is, hey, we were able to deliver this service on time and on budget or under budget. That's the dish that you're trying to get to. And the recipe is how you make that dish. So in a nutshell, what we do is we help people create jobs and build scalable businesses. That's in a nutshell what Procedure Sheets does. And the nitty gritty, like writing your recipes for you or helping you or get organized or set up your workflows, those are just the tools that we use to help you get to the end goal. So that was the first introduction to the difference that what I did was making. This was before I had a team. I've got a team and systems now, but again, this was just me. So I was overwhelmed myself. And this put me in touch with what I was lacking in my business, and that was time. You know, I was wearing a lot of hats, like I said, when I got started, but so was this owner. And so was his right hand, so was his assistant. And they're wearing all these hats trying to juggle all this stuff and juggle all these and spin all these plates. And it's like, well, how do you stop doing that so that you can just focus on what you need to focus on? Be your most productive self. Maybe that means you're focusing on income generating activity, things like this. How do you get that to that point? That was never taught to me. So I'm walking it out with these clients.
Believe it or not, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, especially from the entrepreneurial standpoint. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I need to hire you, because like you just stated, these are things that we were never taught. So most of the time, this is you figuring it out on the fly as you're building your business or as you're moving through business. A lot of us actually adopt some processes from if we worked in corporate America from those sources. So I'm sitting here thinking, oh wow, yes. Now go ahead, finish. I'm sorry, I'm sharing the
no, that's what I wanted. I wanted to see if that, because I started talking about recipes because, you know, we all know what a recipe is, right? And we all know what it
means. See, that's what resonated with me. You have to remember, I started out as a chef. My first business was as a personal chef. So sitting here listening to you, I'm actually taking notes and listening to you talk. And I was just thinking to myself, well, I guess I'm going to have to hire him, because I know there's some things that I definitely need help with. So I'm going to let you finish, because you were giving really good, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was just out loud. Like, oh my gosh, yes, okay. Yeah, this is something that all entrepreneurs, especially, even, I don't care how old your business is or how new it is, this is something that would actually, if you brought someone in to do this, could actually refresh the process.
Yes, and that was the goal. Now, and what's crazy too is that opens your doors for other things, right? So let's say you get your recipes or your processes documented, you get your recipes written. Well, like I say, you can hand that to somebody else and get the same dish every single time. And now you can have trust in somebody else. And now if, let's say you wanted to hold everything close to your chest before, and you wanted to control everything before, you don't have to, but it's still going to get done, which now means now you can have some peace of mind and you can actually breathe and know that the outcome's the same. So if you document your recipes, that means that every single month, you can delegate a task to somebody. Maybe, okay, this month, let's write this recipe for how I do this in my business. Okay, I'm gonna hand that to this person. And now I just delegated something. Okay, cool, I don't have to wear that hat anymore. It's gonna get done. documenting your recipes, writing your recipes, it also helps you keep your team on the same page. Because now I don't have to think, I don't have to, you know, interpret what's inside your head. You can explain it to me and you can shadow me and stuff.
Well, the way you say that is actually the way we learn in culinary school. When you document your recipes, especially if you're going to open a restaurant, it's very important about consistency of the dishes. So what you do is you write that process, you write the recipe down so that whoever you hire, they follow the steps the exact same way. So no matter how many chefs come into your kitchen, that dish should taste the same all the time.
Yes, 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 preach. That's what I'm talking about. So that, and that's the whole goal, right? So now you can keep your team on the same page. You don't have to wear that extra hat anymore. So now you can get some of that time back. And what you do with your time is totally up to you. And it gives you the opportunity to train people. You know, here's our recipe. Here's our process. I can train this customer, this client, these students, these chefs. I can even train the public with this kind of stuff, right? So it's all of these cool things. And what that opened the door for is now you're getting your time back. Because this is where we can go to a deeper level with time freedom and time wellness, because now we're talking about we've got the same 24 hours in a day as everybody. We all have 24 hours every day. And time is pretty much the only real limited resource that we have. That's the one finite thing that we can't get back. So what are we going to do with that time? Are we going to spend all that time being busy? Are we going to be spending all that time spinning all these plates, making all the dishes ourselves? Or can we spend that time focusing on the one dish that we're best at, that we love the most, that gives the most impact, that benefits the most people? Let's say that dish is baking a pie. Man, this one pie feeds everybody and it's the best pie in the world. I want to focus on this dish, but I'm going to let this person make the entree, and I'm going to let this person make the appetizer, and I'm going to let these people do this. Holy smokes, now I got a team. It's like, yeah, listen, man, I really love your pie, but how can I get some of that appetizer? It's like, hey, listen, you need to talk to Jane over here. You need to talk to Jasmine over here. You need to talk to Mark over here, all that kind of stuff, right? So now you've got this team that's on the same page creating all these dishes. And look what happens when you create these dishes. You've got this incredible meal. So your business, can think of your business like the meal. And all of these recipes that are inside it, like whatever it is you offer people, you've got this great meal coming together. And now you're building a scalable business. You're starting to build a business that can run without you if you need to take a vacation. Let's say you take the vacation and now you don't have fires to put out when you come back, right? Because everybody knows the recipes and stuff's not slipping through the cracks. So this is what we do for other businesses. We write their recipes for them, so other people can make the dishes.
So tell me about a time that you worked with a client that, I guess, touched your heart in a way that it changed your process and the way you did business.
Yes. So there was a client. So what I used to do, again, this was before I had a team and systems of my own. I would walk into a business or be invited to one, and we do like a 1.5 hour consult. They just vomit everything about their business on me, and I just take notes till my hand goes numb, right? So over the next few weeks, what I do is I would shadow them. I'd come to their office and I'd follow them while they do their thing and all of this. And I would have, I'd still be taking notes. And, you know, I'd be shadowing everything they do. I sit down with you for a few hours while you do your thing, and I go do this. And I'd pull their team members aside and I'd do interviews. Interview would be like 45 minutes to an hour. So in the back of my head, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be great. But there was a problem that I was creating. And the problem that I was creating is that I was disrupting their operation. I was disrupting their flow by pulling people away for interviews, by shadowing them while they're trying to like get something, but they got to stop to teach me, right? So it's all of that. So there was a client that sent me some videos. And he said, can you write recipes from videos? I said, well, I mean, I don't see why not. Yes, I'll give it a try. I didn't know that the answer was yes. I just told him yes, and I'll figure it out later. So I go and I do it. So I get these videos and I get on my laptop and I put on a headset. And when I wrote recipes for clients, back when I wrote recipes for clients, I had this template. So at the top of your recipe, it'd be the name of your company. This is when this recipe was updated. This is who it's for. This is the summary. Boom, here are the steps, all that. Okay. So I'm watching these videos and I got my template open. And it took me about 2.5, 3 hours, but I found a way to transcribe that video into the recipe. And then I was able to send them that recipe. And here's where this was a breakthrough, is that because of that, those videos, I was able to pause them and take a screenshot and put the screenshot in the recipe. So now you can see the recipe as you're doing it. I said, oh, this is cool. So I sent that to them and they were like, man, this is perfect. This is great. This actually plugs up all the leaks that we had in our process. People are being able to see stuff now that they couldn't before. So I was like, man, I think I need to try this again. So now I go and I experiment with one of those other clients where I like walk in their offices and I say, listen, I want to try something here. I'm going to take out my cell phone and I'm going to record you doing this. And what I want to ask Stephanie over there is, can she record herself doing that thing over there, like on her computer or on her cell phone? They're like, yeah, sure. Okay. I'm recording a process. She's recording one in another department. I go back and I get on and I start writing the recipe. And I've got videos now. I've got recordings now where I can take the recording and turn those into a written recipe. And I was like, and the time that I was saving, and there was no back and forth, and I didn't have to do the interviews or the shadowing or disruption. And the problem with my old way is they had to re-explain themselves. Like, I know you taught me this 2 weeks ago, but can you tell me again how this part works? Okay, yes. So let's go back to this. But with the videos, it's none of that. They do the task, press record, they do their task, they send me the recording. That means that while, if I got questions, I press rewind while they go on about their business. And that's when I decided I need to make this part of the business model. So it was hard to make that transition, but I asked every client, would you guys please record your processes? And here's why I'm asking you to do this, because of this, and reason. So now, clients will submit recordings. And then, so what I was doing here, and I didn't realize, I was making a procedure for writing procedures. I was creating a recipe for writing recipes. And not only did this allow me to make it consistent and everybody can do the same thing, but this also allowed me to train somebody else to do it. So now I created a recipe in my own business. So now I can start delegating and taking off my hats. That was the breakthrough for me.
But it also freed up time for you as well.
Yes. Yes. Big time. Yep.
This is a 2-second nutrition tip. Today's tip is become a savvy food label reader. Understand exactly what's going into your food. Let me know how that goes. This has been a 2-second nutrition tip.
So, Brandon, describe the process behind your program and your services.
Yes. So it's the name of it. It's called Get SOPs, GetSOPs. And SOPs, for those who don't know, an SOP is a standard operating procedure. It's the technical term for your recipe, basically. So in your business, you will have your recipes. Those will be called standard operating procedures. So our service is called Get SOPs, and you can find it at getsops.com. And here's how it works. We have you submit video and audio recordings of your process, and then we transcribe them into written recipes. So here's what a recipe can look like. A recipe can be a document with, you know, step 1 through 10. And at the end of that document, we have this little checklist. And the checklist will say, did you do step 1? If not, go back. Did you do step 2 before you did step 3? If not, go back. That's what that document will look like. And we call that a process document or a recipe, whatever you want. What your recipe can also look like is a flow chart. So if anybody's ever seen a flow chart, it's got the little images and the little squares and stuff that tell you do this first, do this next. if you don't do this, do that. If this happens, then do this. We create those as well. And a flowchart is a chronology of related tasks, basically. So your flowchart is like your 10,000 foot eagle view of what's going on in your business. And each of these related tasks can be its own recipe. So it can break down like that. Your flowchart may have like 10 tasks on it, and each task has a recipe in it, or two recipes. So that's how that looks. What we can also do with your recipe is we can make it into what's called a whiteboard video. A whiteboard video, have you ever seen those animated, those, they got a white background, but they're little animated videos with characters and stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
So then we can make those as well. But so we can make those as well. So your recipe can take on any form it needs to. But what we ask is that, again, you submit video or audio recordings of your process so we can turn them into a recipe. And then we submit that recipe to you digitally. So we will send it to you like as a PDF document, as a Word document, as an image, or as the video, if you chose a video. And we do that for you every single month. So we document your processes, document one of your recipes every single month. And that's our service. So every month, one of your recipes is getting documented so that you can hand it off, keep your team on the same page. So it's a monthly service that we offer. And you'll be able to see more details about this at getSOPs.com.
Okay, awesome. So let me ask you this. What's a common myth about processes and services that you run into with some of your clients that you guys are able to dispel for them?
So one of the common ones is that nobody can do this like I can. Nobody's going to be able to do this activity, complete this task the way that I can, as well as I can. I'm always going to have fires to put out. You know, if I hire this person, you know, I've hired somebody before and they messed up, and, you know, I always had to fix this or fix that. And man, I haven't gone on a vacation in years. It's not always the other person. Sometimes it's the way that you taught them. Sometimes it's the way that you trained them. Sometimes maybe you left something out of your recipe. Sometimes you told them your recipe instead of showed them your recipe. And we give you the ability to show them your recipe. Another issue is that, like another issue or a common myth is that, having to do with your, like, you could be thinking about how productive you're being. Another myth is what you're doing right now, let's say you're wearing three hats. Or is it really the most productive use of your time to wear hat one and hat three instead of just hat two? You know, is it really your most productive use of time to be doing this one thing? You know, and what does productive mean? Productive means something. Are you doing something that brings money into the business? Is that the most important thing? Are you doing something that helps this customer or this client move the chains or get over this hump? That could be productive for you. Productive for you could be, is this contributing to me talking to people on social media or reaching out on my social media or building my platform? Is what I'm doing contributing to that? And we get stuck in the stuff that we shouldn't be doing, but maybe we don't know we shouldn't be doing it. And when you get your recipes written, when you get your recipes documented, you can see at a glance, you know what, this is probably not the thing that I should have been doing because it's not helping me get here. It's not helping me reach this goal. Let me hand this off to somebody else now. I need it to get done. It's still going to get done, but now I can go do my thing. Your thing, again, could be vacation for the first time in years. Your thing could be, okay, now I can go get sales, or now I can go run my podcast, or now I can go, you know, hire this new person. There's some stuff that you need to take off your plate that you shouldn't be doing because you can't do everything because you've got the same 24 hours in a day as everybody else does. So what are you going to do in those 24 hours? How much of those 24 hours do you want back? You know, because if you can get somebody else making your recipes, making your dishes, it's like, you probably got back like an extra hour a week
Exactly. Like you literally get back all of your time. I'm sitting here listening to you talking. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm going to definitely have to do a consult with you, because when you said that part about wearing this hat, is wearing all three of these hats at the same time productive? I am almost positive people who are just starting their businesses, business owners, they are probably thinking the same thing to themselves. Am I making or utilizing the best use of my time by wearing all three of these hats? Am I doing, or should I be focused on other areas as well? Let me ask you this. What are some things that your program has done for some of your clients that you didn't really expect?
Oh man, that's a fun one. There was a one of our clients, they had an agency. And what happened was they lost their account manager, their sole account manager, responsible for all 20 of their accounts. So when they brought us in, of course, the only other person who, the problem is that account manager left, but they took the knowledge with them. They took the account management knowledge with them. None of their recipes were documented. So fortunately, the owner also knew what the account manager knew. The owner was the only other person. So when we wrote the recipes, the owner was telling us the recipes. When we wrote the recipes, from their videos and everything, now they're able to hire somebody else and they can see what was inside the old account manager's head. So this meant a lot of things. The owner didn't have to train people anymore. The owner didn't have to, like, new team members come on, the owner didn't have to train them because we had documented processes, written recipes. But now everybody was able to see the recipes and they were able to go make those dishes, in this case, in the account management space. But what this also led to was we could improve their workflow, like how their work flowed every day and how their operations flowed every day, and hold people accountable. So like they were running checklists, like, okay, I'm gonna go do this recipe today. So I'm gonna make this checklist and make sure I hit everything. Cool. We made it so the manager could see them do that checklist and they could see themselves do that checklist. And now everybody's accountable and you can track everything that's being done. Now you can track all the dishes that are being made. In the end, and these were the client's words, he said, procedure sheets cut our training time from 4 weeks to 7 days with easy auditable steps. So if I think about an 8-hour day, 5 days a week, that's about a savings of 120 hours.
So from a business owner perspective, with you saying that, I'm actually thinking budgetary, how much money that saves, because when we pay for training, we pay at a minimum of 8 hours a day. And most of the time it's minimum wage. So we'll say about $9 an hour. And if you're training about 10 people at a time, that's a large expenditure for a business to train people. So you cut it down from what did he say? 2 weeks to 7 days.
Yeah. From 4 weeks to 7 days.
Oh my gosh. So you cut it down from a month to a week.
Yes. Yeah. So you just doing the math, like you said, the savings in your time, the savings in the money, that opens up everything. Because now you had something you didn't have before. You've got this money back. You've got this time back. It's like, well, what are you going to do? It's like, I don't know. I've never had it before. What am I going to do? It's like, okay, well, let's have that conversation.
Yeah, because it's almost like you have to figure out now your trainers, they went from 4 weeks to 7 days. So now you got to come up with other programs for them to train in and new things for them to do as well.
Yes, yes. It's beautiful. I mean, because it you're not trapped anymore. You know what I mean? You're not stuck anymore. Nobody is. It's
absolutely. Good. Yes, yes, yes. So tell us about, walk us through what it would be like. I know you gave us some insight a little bit, but just walk us through the process. How long does it take for you guys to set up a process for, just a basic process for clients? Are there levels to the amount of procedures that you will do? Like, are there different packages that you offer? Give us some ideas into that.
So we have two main services that we offer. The first service, it's what we call our niche service. In our first service, we write your recipes. That's the goal. We write your recipes. That's the first service. The second service, we call our full service. We create duplicatable systems So not only are we writing your recipes, but we're setting up efficient workflow. Not only are we setting up efficient workflow, but we're making your business duplicatable. Meaning anybody can step, it doesn't depend on one person or a few people anymore. Anybody can step into the role. People can seamlessly move from one role to another. You can franchise the business if you want. You can sell the business if you want. You can scale the business if you want. And that's a whole new level of things that we do. So if you take our first service where we write your recipes, we ask you to submit a recording of one of your recipes, meaning when does your process start and when does it end? That's going to be one recipe. So submit that recording. Maybe that recording's on your computer. Cool, record your screen. But if that recording's like you got to walk around and like build something, take a file to somebody, have somebody follow you with your cell phone camera, or maybe do a voice recording saying, okay, so I'm about to take this over here and this person is going to do this with it, and just talk us through it and send us that recording. Once you do that, it takes us about a week and a half to 2 weeks to turn that into a written recipe. Once we do that, we submit that recipe to you as like a PDF document, a Word document, a flow chart, or one of those videos that I told you about. And if we do like a flow chart, then we can like ship you a poster size to your office so everybody sees it. And then, so we do that, and then we do it again the next month. The next month, send us a recording of one of your recipes, okay? We're gonna turn the recording into a written recipe, a PDF, a Word document, a flow chart, a video. Cool. Next month, send us another recording of one of your other recipes. And we keep going because every single month, you're delegating something, keeping people on the same page, taking off an extra hat, and it's just this flow. So that's the first service. And then the full service, it's a little bit deeper because you get everything from the first service and then some, because now we're creating audit trails for you. And we're setting up roles and responsibilities for you. And we can assign part one of your recipe to this person and part three of your recipe to that person. And we're setting up and we're creating like a knowledge base where everybody can like go into the knowledge base and pull out the recipe they want so they can do it and then put it back when they're done. So the full service is a lot more intensive process. We recommend that people start with our small service to start getting things flowing. If that makes sense.
That does. That makes a lot of sense. Explain to us what an audit trail is for those out there that don't understand or don't really have that set up for their business, so that they'll sort of understand that the terminology that you're using may be something that may be beneficial for them as well.
An audit trail gives you the ability to track what people do. It gives you the ability to track what happened in your business. It gives you the ability to track what's happening in your business by anybody that's doing it. So let's say you've got this recipe and you assign your recipe to your team member and your team member starts doing the recipe. Well, what an audit trail does is it lets you see their progress as they're doing you the recipe. Let's say they're on step two. You can see them on step two and what they're doing on step two and what they did on step two. That way you can, if they got a question or if you see something wrong, you can jump in and say, hey, before you continue with step two, let me have you do this little tweak to get you back on track so that the recipe is consistent, right? So audit trails give you the ability to track everything that happens in your business. And we're able to build those audit trails in for you when we write your recipes and do your workflows. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes, that makes absolute sense to me. I just wanted people to be able to understand what that is. Also, give them the definition of a knowledge base just so they'll understand what that is and the concept of setting that up in their business as well. The way in which you used it should give people some type of insight as to what it is, but let them know technically what that does and the benefits of having that in their business.
So one analogy I can use for that is for anybody that watches sports teams have playbooks. So like Your favorite basketball team's got a playbook. Your favorite baseball team's got a playbook. Your favorite your favorite football team's got a playbook. A knowledge base is your playbook for your business. This is all of the processes that you have, all of the things that you do in it, all of the knowledge that you have in your business, all of that goes into this playbook. So think of a knowledge base as your playbook. This is our, these are our plays that we run to run the business. These are our plays that we run to do what we need to do. And you can also think of it, your, so whenever you create a recipe, it goes into your playbook. Whenever you have a, whenever you're trying to train somebody or you're trying to say, hey, this is our policy, this is how we do things, this is our philosophy about this, that goes into your playbook. So that's what a knowledge base is. It's your playbook for your business. And the playbook for business A is going to look different for the playbook for business B, even if you're in the same industry, right? So like two restaurants, restaurant A's got a different playbook than restaurant B, but the restaurant industry's got different playbooks than the insurance industry and so on and so forth. So your playbook is unique to your business, but that's where it all goes. And that's what a knowledge base is. It's your playbook.
If you want to be seen, you have to stop being invisible to opportunity. I'm Kay Henry, licensed mental health counselor and host of Black Therapy Uncensored. Your prescription to positivity starts here.
All right, you guys, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for Brandon for being on the show. We're going to wrap up our interview, and don't think this will be the last time you will hear from him. Brandon, you, as with all of our guests, you can always jump in our group on Facebook, the 10 Dimensions of Wellness, for after the podcast. I've already discussed it with him off the air. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, but we're definitely going to have him teaching some courses in the group and doing some things in there as well. But Brandon, tell people how they can get in contact with you. Give them your social media, your website, your email, all of that good information.
So I'll start with my email. It is brandon@proceduresheets.com, B-R-A-N-D-O-N at proceduresheets.com. And then another fast way to get in touch with me is on my LinkedIn. You can search for Brandon Turner, or you can actually, if you Google Procedure Sheets, you'll be able to see all of our social media and our contact and our information too. And then another way is Facebook. So I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn most of the time. So finding me on Facebook is good. And then, like I said, one of the fastest ways to get in touch with me, with us, learn about our brand and all of that, is if you do a Google search for Procedure Sheets, because it'll pull up our website, our social media, and our services as well. And even our Google listing. We have a Google listing also with some reviews and stuff. So
awesome. Now, you guys, you as always, we write an article about our guests and add it to our website. So you can definitely find all of his contact information on our website, NRI Wellness. And again, jump in the Facebook group, 10 Dimensions of Wellness. You can actually find Brandon in that group, which will lead you back to the Procedure Sheets Facebook page. So you can find them there as well. Now, Brandon, I have some questions for you, and these are the famous four questions that how we end our show.
All right.
The first one is, what's been the biggest surprise that you've had in this in last few months?
Oh, man. COVID.
I think that was a surprise to us all. Well, some of us, not all of us, but some
right.
of us.
So I'll get specific. You're right. You're right. So to get specific, COVID followed up with recent events, political and otherwise, what surprised me was how divided we are as a nation and as a people. And I know that's not really the happiest of topics, but that's what surprised me. And I wasn't like,
actually, to be completely honest with you, it's not the happiest of topics, but it's reality and it's what's going on. So it's something that we actually need to address, and we need to hear often and over again, so that we can have a clear understanding of what needs to be done and the solutions, and come up with solutions to actually prevent us from being divided as a country and as a people.
Yes, absolutely. So that was my thing. That was my big surprise.
Okay. So what do you know now that you wish you had known 10 years ago?
Don't procrastinate. step out and take the jump and learn how to fly. Sometimes you got to learn how to build your boat when you're in the water and build your plane while you're in the sky, you know, but if you don't take the jump, then you're never going to, if you don't take the shot, then you're never going to make the shot, you know? So that's my thing.
Okay. Awesome. I totally get that. Now, what inspires you and makes you feel like your best self?
Oh man. I'd say taking a minute to stopping to smell the roses, because we get caught up in life and we get caught up in our problems and we get caught up in our goals. But when you stop and take a minute to enjoy nature, your spiritual self, when you stop and take a minute to enjoy your time, whether that's your family or whatever, that's been the big thing for me. So I've tried to take because I've been able to get my own time back, I've been trying to stop and smell the roses some more.
Well, see, that's awesome because your business helps people get their time back so that they are able to actually stop and smell the roses more, spend more time with nature, spend more time with their family, just spend more time, period. Because most of us, you know, as business owners, you're just always doing and going. So I totally get that. Now, my last question, if you had a billboard with anything on it, what would it say and why?
Oh, let's see. It would say getsops.com. Rewrite your recipes so you don't have to.
I like it. So it'd be a marketing billboard. It'd just be, we write your recipes. And you know what? That would probably actually draw people in. You probably get a lot of culinary clients. I know that.
Which I'm totally fine with. I love me some food, and I love culinary pros. These guys rock.
Awesome. Well, Brandon, I want to thank you for giving us your time today, and thank you once again for being on the show. You guys, we've come to another end of another episode of the 10 Dimensions of Wellness. Thank you so much for listening in, and you can download, listen, share, comment on any of our shows on Spotify, Pandora, Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a plethora of other audio platforms. You can also find us on YouTube, on our YouTube channel at NRI Wellness, where you can listen to any of our past shows as well as this future show with Brandon. So you guys, thank you for logging in. Thank you for checking in with us, and have a great night.
NRI Wellness brings you the latest health and nutrition information, creates customized nutrition programs, and walks you through the process to ensure your success.